friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. As always, I am so glad you are joining me today. I love you coming back each and every week. I have an amazing show for you today. Something you might not know. Okay, so did you know they are injecting vaccines, and not just any vaccines, mRNA vaccines inside food? Yeah, I didn't know that either, because what they don't tell you, they don't have to give you informed consent. So I am talking to an attorney today who is sharing with us what he has learned about the mRNA that is going into the food supply. So please like, share, and subscribe. Share this far and wide. I would really appreciate it. Hey, and if you want to carry on the conversation, join me on Telegram. I always add more content to Telegram. Find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and I just joined Clout Hub, so join me there. Follow me there. And if you like what I'm doing and you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. The easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you can donate. Or you can become a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. And you can become a $5 monthly subscriber there. I'd really appreciate that. Always check our partners. I keep partnering with new businesses to save you money. The latest one is Patriot Mobile. I left the woke telephone company and I went to a Patriot company that's conservative and have my same values, and that's Patriot Mobile. Use my name. I think it's Amber. It could be Amber May at checkout, and you can save some money there. All the links are in the description. Cheesecake. I have restaurants. I have businesses. I'm in all kinds. Healthcare. All kinds of stuff. Check the links below. Let's vote with our wallet and go check the website at theambermayshow.com. There's a promo section there. Anyways, without further ado, I have Thomas Rhines joining us right now. I'm so excited. Like I told you, Tom Rhines is joining us on the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, glad to be here. Glad to be here. How have you been, Amber?
I've been well. And you were one of the people that I have such a high level of respect for, because I remember you in the very beginning, and you know, everyone was calling attorneys that they could trust, and you were one of the attorneys that people could trust to get them out of medical kidnapping and such, and it was just heavy on your heart. And you could have easily just turned away at the very beginning and say, it's not my problem. But you've dug into your heels and you've done so much good for the United States. So I have so much respect for you. So I am really happy to have you on my program today.
Oh, well, I really appreciate those kind words. You know, I mean, it's been a real honor to fight. It's been tough. It's been very difficult on some days, but it's always an honor to do it. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's good. We've done good stuff. So I'm pretty proud of the fight, and I'm pretty proud of what I've done. It's easy to walk away. It's easy to turn away, and doing what's right is not always what's easy. In fact, it's frequently not. So I'm pretty proud, because I got two little boys, right? You and I have talked about this. I got two little boys, and you want to show them. Mm-hmm. I want them to do what's right over what's easy. So I'm glad to be able to show them.
You know, I'm the same way. You know, my kids see me so active here locally, because General Flynn says local impact creates national results. And they see me walking the streets and signing petitions and working with state legislators. I actually wrote a bill for the first time in my life this session.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't believe it. So that was a big accomplishment. And I wouldn't have done it without the movement, without the fight. And now I'm reaching out to state legislators in Texas, because there's a bill they wrote and they passed 2 years ago that really would coincide with my bill. And so I asked them for a copy. I handed it to the state legislator that I wrote the bill with. And I sent my bill over to them, and I said, hey, you know what, this is a really great bill. It would go really well with the one you already wrote. I'd love you to consider looking at it. And this is how we win. We win like this. And you've been state by state by state. I just saw that you were talking in Ohio about the CBDCs. Praise God for that. Yeah. You've been to state legislators, I believe, across the nation. You've been in different courtrooms across the nation. You've been at different speaking. And I'm so proud to know you because I have talked to other attorneys that are supposedly in our movement. And when I said, hey, why don't you come alongside Thomas Rentz? He could use your help. The gentleman said, well, I have a big platform. I don't know what I'm going to use with it yet. I'm like, I just lost all respect for that man because I've seen what you've done. I've heard your cries. I've seen what you've had to go through the last 2 years, and I'm proud of you. And now you're blowing the whistle, which I'm really proud of you about the mRNAs and the foods. Like, that's shocking to a lot of people. This is new information to a lot of people. Like, how did you stumble upon this information, and tell us about it?
Yeah. So, I mean, my job, you got to understand my job. So, I'm a lawyer, I'm an activist, I'm a political guy, I'm a public speaker. I don't even know what my job is. I just fight, right? Wherever I got a punch. But central to every part of my job is information and knowledge, like trading. And that's the commodity I trade is what I know. So the one thing that I do probably more prolifically than anything else is read and study and research. And I have to do that just on a scale that is kind of hard to fathom. Mm-hmm. So I do that because I have to know what the other side's going to do. I have to predict what's the most likely path that they're going to take. Which direction are they going to go? Why are they going this way? And so there's this whole process that I go through, and it's actually become a process. Well, when I read things, sometimes I may not be able to quote or cite where it came from, but I've got a pretty good memory considering how much I have to absorb. And for quite some time I spent working, and probably a couple of years ago, I was working on different things related to vehicles for promoting vaccination and things like that. And this is when I was really just first starting to realize that there might be some issues with vaccines, because I used to be pro-vaccine. I didn't know better.
Me too.
And when I was researching that, I was, I was looking through every article and every journal I could find, everything I could find on it. And I remembered seeing a bunch of stuff about vaccines here and vaccines there, and how they could transmit them and how they could get them into you without, necessarily giving you an injection and different things. So we knew that they had been looking at food supply. I mean, this wasn't something that was new to me. But then fast forward to a few months back, a couple of different state legislatures, legislative people that were working in various states around the country, were talking about different anti-mRNA bills and things like this and that and other. And several of them were told by the lobbyists, well, you can't write it broadly. We're putting it in the food. We're putting it in this. We're putting it in that. And I don't know whether the lobbyists were mistaken or what was going on, but we heard from several different people that they were going to have it in the food by the end of whatever month that was that I originally broke it. Well, it turns out that that wasn't true. And it wasn't true for several reasons. One is because there wasn't anything set to be approved that month. But the other much worse reason is it was already there.
It's already there?
Yeah, so mRNA was approved in pork with the Sequevity platform in 2018. So it's already, they've been using mRNA in pork for a number of years now. And that's where you come to the point that you have to distinguish a couple of things. Yeah, so mRNA in pork does not mean that you eat the pork and you're vaccinated. Okay. It might mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. So we have to distinguish between using mRNA in food, which makes that food arguably a GMO and may or may not screw that food up in some way, shape, or form. We don't know. There's very few follow-up studies on the safety or efficacy of foods after mRNA is used in it. But then there's the idea of transmissible mRNA, which is distinct from an mRNA vaccine that may break down and go away. Now, we don't know whether the mRNA vaccine given in a pig breaks down and goes away, whether it modifies their genetics and you're eating a GMO. We don't know what it does. And the USDA is not exactly being forthright about things.
Wow.
But what we do know is that not only is there the potential of mRNA being in food and that potentially being a bad thing, but there's also the reality that they do have what's called a transmissible vaccine. We have Medicago as a company. They were growing COVID-19 plants. You eat the plant, you get the vaccine, you become vaccinated. They were growing them in San Diego, and I believe it's approved in Canada. So they can create transmissible COVID-19 vaccines with plants. We know that transmissible vaccines have been studied for decades, and they're a legitimate thing. Now, one of the things this is true misinformation. What you say is, well, mRNA, you know, transmissible vaccines, they're a legitimate concern. It can happen. The left will say, oh, no, mRNA breaks down. mRNA is a very fragile particle, and it can't survive digestion. Well, let me address that real quick. That is misinformation at its finest. And let me tell you why. If you look at the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, the ingredient is not mRNA. It's something called modRNA, M-O-D-RNA. Well, now, it took me a while to put this all together, but you have to look at the history of mRNA vaccines. mRNA as a particle is fragile and does break down easily.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew this. And this was part of the reason that mRNA vaccines weren't a real plausible idea for a long time. Until recently, sometime over the last decade or so, a group of people came up with ideas to stabilize those particles and make them more robust. Because they were more robust, they now work better in these vaccines. So they survive longer. Now, here's the thing, though. If the particle's more robust, first of all, how robust can they make it? Are you telling me that they can make it robust enough to get through your system if it's injected into you, but you can't make it robust enough to survive the digestive system? Well, why? How about this? How about release all the science on it so that we can actually see the truth?
Yeah.
They won't do that naturally. And the other thing to think about is this. If it is much more robust and much more stable, why do we still think it's going to break down so quickly in the meat that we have? How do we know that it's not going to survive on and transmit? See, this is a very big deal, because the disinformation the other side puts out, they say, well, mRNA. Well, this isn't mRNA. This is a synthetic mRNA that you've modified in a laboratory to make more powerful, more strong, rigid, more, and it's a very, very big deal because it's not the same thing. Yes, they're right. mRNA may break down. mRNA is not the issue. This modified mRNA, the synthetic mRNA, is, and so it could be still transmitting into you through the food supply and could be transmissible.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout.
All right, America, Patriots. We are currently on the Amber May Show, so stay tuned. Amber May.
Hey, America, Dr. Stella Emanuel here. I'm doing this video because I get a lot of inbox messages on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and everything. Just people asking me what to do about COVID long symptoms and also those that are vaccine injured. So we made a few products. One of them is COVID Light. COVID Light is an electrolyte. It has all the vitamins and minerals that you need. On top of that, it has things like elderberry. It has pomegranate. It has resveratrol. It has a CoQ10, black cumin. It has a lot of antioxidants and minerals and that can help you to detox. And we also have COVID Cleanse that was actually created for that. It has milk tea. So these things will help you detox and also help you to deal with the inflammation that comes with this. For those that are having COVID long symptoms, we recommend this. Do the 4-day detox and take COVID Light. We've seen a tremendous, you know, success with that. For those that are having a vaccine injury, we include all three of these COVID Lights, and then we also tell them do a telemedicine appointment, get some ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, and take it before you start the products. We've seen a lot of success with all this. So go on our website, drstellam.com, use the promo code right here. You don't need to deal with COVID long symptoms. We can help you with vaccine injury to be able to help deal with the spike protein disease that is going on. Anyway, God bless you, and go on our website, drstellam.com. Like I say, use this promo code right here on the screen, and you'll get a discount. Thank you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Both are possible. We don't know the truth. And if you want to trust FDA and the USDA, you go right ahead. But at this point, I don't.
No, I don't either. I mean, we saw that with human-to-human contact with people who got the shot, that there was shedding, and people could get somewhat vaccinated through the shedding of their partner. Like, especially if you slept in the same bed or you were married to someone, or, you know, you had really close contact with someone. So it's plausible to me that we could definitely get it through this food supply. Now, how does this work? Okay, because people somewhat volunteered for that. I mean, a lot of people were coerced and tricked into getting the shot, forced, like, if you don't get it, you're going to lose your job. But how do they explain this with the food? Where does this informed consent come in? Where shouldn't we know what I'm going to go to the grocery store. Like, is there a way I'm going to know this is the mRNA food versus not mRNA food? Where does all that come in?
Well, there is none. So they're going to, my guess is that they're going to say, well, it's food. It's not a medical product. So we don't have to provide anything. We can provide GMO food. There's a bunch of laws related to food. They're just going to call it GMO food, and there'll be no anything. Unless we pass this informed consent legislation that, you know, like we had it introduced in Missouri. Rep Jennifer Gross, who's doing the CBDC bill in Ohio, is going to sponsor an informed consent bill here. We've got a number of people in a number of other states we're working on, but we need to have this passed in a state. And all the bill needs to say is, listen, if the food's going to modify your genetics, you get informed consent. Real simple, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to oppose there. And the bill that bill is a paragraph, and anyone on the planet can read it. And it doesn't apply to anybody unless their product is going to make you modify your genetics. So it's a really easy, simple thing. And the opposition we got when we filed that bill in Missouri was shocking, absolutely shocking. But you wouldn't even consider opposing that bill unless you had something to hide.
Right. I would love for you to share that bill with me, because I will send it to my state legislator and run that bill. See if he'll run that bill too next session, because see, local action creates national impact, right? So you wrote a bill in Missouri. I know you could give me access to that bill. I could send it to my guy, because to my knowledge, there's nothing in this in Arizona, to my knowledge, of any bills like that. So I would love to be a part of that. See, this is how we all work together. People wonder, how are we going to win? How are we going to win? Like this, talking to friends in different states. What are you doing? Look what Tom's doing. He's helping with legislation in Missouri. He doesn't even live in Missouri yet. And I don't live in Texas yet. I'm talking to state legislators in Texas. Does that I'm no one special. Like, I don't have an attorney background like he does. I just signed up to be a precinct committeeman, decided to go to some meetings, and boom, now I know state legislators. And so you could do that too. So I interviewed a woman who lived in Texas, who went through something related to my bill. So she put me in touch with her people, because I love the bill that they ran in Texas. And this is how you win. It's called networking. And I would love to run that bill here in Arizona. So if you can send that to me, I will send it up to my legislator and say, here's another one, sir. He's not going to have to run a single bill between me and our connections that we all have. Yep. I'll have all the bills for him already done before sessions even started.
Yep. Well, I will tell you, and you're welcome to have the bill. I mean, we certainly, and we'll help if your official's willing to push it, we'll help, you know, we'll help them. Hopefully you'll have a good court outcome, and you'll end up with a Carrie Lake governor. Then you'll have a shot at getting the bill.
Oh, I hope so.
But you know, this whole thing is just we just have to keep fighting and keep pushing. And you're right, that local action does create national impact, and that's a really critical thing. And the fact that you're doing the committee, the precinct stuff, and doing all these things, that's everything. And I keep telling people, I mean, the attorney thing is helpful. It's nice that I've got that knowledge and wisdom and stuff that you get from doing that. But that doesn't have anything to do with the impact we're making. The impact we're making comes from the fact that I'm willing to fight, willing to stand for things, that I'm willing to be active, the willingness to do things. You know, you don't have to do as an attorney to do it. You just got to do it. You know, so that's really a big deal. And I think that's something that I hope will resonate with people. I hope they see what you're doing and back you on that.
Oh, I do too. How did you get involved, since you don't live in Missouri? How'd you get involved with helping with legislation in Missouri?
Well, at this point, I'm involved all over the country. The reason that Missouri got hit, or the mechanism in Missouri, I mean, there's different mechanisms in every state that I'm involved with, which is most states. but in Missouri, what happened was is a wonderful woman that works for me, name is Holly Jones, was elected to the Missouri House of Representatives.
Wow.
So she actually works for me, and she decided she wanted to have an impact. So she ran for House seat, won, and so she's a state rep. So she fought for this bill. She sponsored this bill. She's an absolute warrior on this. The rhinos in Missouri were brutal. They, you know, they were cutting her down. Dean Plocker, the Speaker of the House there, is a complete rhino. They were doing everything they could to undercut her. Of course, Missouri's the home of Bayer Monsanto. So, I mean, you had all the leftists there and everybody else using all these people to try and block it. Mm. But it ended up making a big deal. And the people of Missouri now got to see who the rhinos are. So we're going to have a bunch of people who we're going to have to see whether or not they, let's see what we can do in the next election cycle, because we got some people that we know need to be taken out. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's got to be.
I agree.
So hopefully the people will have a long memory. And they will deal with that. So
yeah, well, that's a big where a precinct committeeman can come in and remind people as they door knock and help campaign for new people running for office. Hey, this campaign, this rep or this senator, hey, they were for modified mRNA food and you didn't know about it. And so what I'm hearing from you say, like, I'll go to the grocery store and I won't know if the food that I'm picking up contains this modified mRNA.
No, you won't. And not only that, but now on your fresh fruits and veggies, which, by the way, a lot of the fruits and veggies are easier to make transmissible mRNA than the meats. They are now also using a product called Apeel, which is a Bill Gates product.
Oh, great.
You spray it on these veggies, and there are a lot of issues with this product. The product may or may not, well, first of all, you can't wash it off, and you want to look. If it says, protected by Apeel, or you see that logo on there, don't buy it. Do not buy it. But this stuff has a number of very concerning qualities. And unfortunately, there's some misinfo out there. Someone put out a product sheet on it that was very popular, and that product sheet wasn't actually for the Peel vegetable product. It's for some furniture cleaner or something. So there's misinfo, but the actual Peel product for vegetables, to my mind, is not a safe product. It's not something that I would ever allow my family to have anything to do with. It's something that I think that, well, first of all, the fact that it's created by a Bill Gates crew
Yes.
is really all you need to know. But
Right.
it looks to me like there's some very suspicious, the way it's designed and structured using some of the glycerides, the fats that are kind of the basis for it. It just seems very suspicious to me. And I have not fully vetted the product yet. I haven't got all the information. There's a lot of vagaries about it and a lot of things that seem shady. And generally, anything that Bill Gates touch, I don't trust. And
Right,
if
me
Bill
either.
Gates touches it and it appears that they're trying to cover something up, I trust it even less.
Yeah, I mean, he's part of the whole smart city agenda. He's pushing all these vaccines that have made women infertile around the world.
Yep.
He was friends with pedophiles, visited Epstein Island many times. So you could guess birds of a feather flock together. Yeah, he's not someone I trust or would want anything to do with him. So if
No.
he's behind it, I'm out. Like I don't want to have anything to do with it. To your knowledge, are they messing with the organic section at the food store?
So I don't know. There are a lot of loopholes to something called being called organic. And so I don't have proof that they are, but I don't have proof that they're not. I'm going to tell you that, to my mind, I don't really have a lot of trust for it. I got a I'm selling a freeze-dried beef on my website, tomrens.com, which, I talked to the guy who started that company. They're legit. That's why part of the reason I did that. And I'm working on getting access to other foods. And what we're going to do is we're going to end up putting a bunch of people under contract that their fruit, their vegetables, their food are, and we're going to work on getting that and making it available. But right now it's Wild West. There's no disclosure requirements. There's loopholes everywhere. And frankly, it's very concerning to me. Like the reason I'm working on this is because I'm worried about what my family's going to eat.
Yeah, I was just going to ask
Like,
you, what are you doing to protect your family?
yeah, I mean, right now it's guesswork. I mean, it's just guesswork. It's the best we can do. We're paying attention, but I mean, there's no way to actually know what's where or how it's going to affect you. I don't know that I don't know what they're doing. I just don't know how far they've come. I know I don't trust anything coming from our federal government. And one thing that people are not aware of is the intersectionality between big pharma and big ag. They are very much one and the same.
Really?
Bayer. Yeah, so Bayer bought Monsanto. Monsanto is the largest seed producer on the planet, and that's how they do this, right? They engineer these seeds to be a GMO and to potentially modify your genome, right? I mean, they create them in a way that they do that. And Bayer actually also partnered with Pfizer, with BioNTech.
Seriously? Oh my.
Yeah, so
Wow.
like there's a lot of nasty little things happening in the background that people don't know
Okay,
about.
I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program, at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
You know, and I do believe that that's where they're going with this, is to try and put a lot of this stuff in the food supply, because right now the booster uptake is zero. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to take this stuff. Nobody wants it. Nobody's taking these jabs. mRNA has gratefully become a bad word in many places. And these are all good things, right? Because they've got to have a backup plan. It looks like putting in the food supply is the next step.
That's terrible. And I mean, I know Dr. Artis, he was wondering if they even put some of the stuff in the water supply, and he did a whole thing with Stu Peters on the water supply. So it's like it doesn't matter where we go. They're going to try and poison us no matter what. So it's good that we have the knowledge so we can fight back against these people trying to interfere in our food supply, because we have to eat. So yeah. I guess a tip that we can learn today on this show is, A, start your own garden. Even if you're in an apartment complex, there's tower gardens you can be a part of.
Heirloom seeds.
There you go. Heirloom seeds. Those are great. Yep. Yeah. So, man. And sometimes it's hard because we don't have, it's interesting. God oppressed upon my heart, because my background's radio. I was a radio broadcaster in Phoenix for many years until I had children. And at the time, so I'm going to say it was about 8-9 years ago, he kept telling me community gardens, community gardens, community gardens. And I didn't understand that. And now I'm understanding it a little bit more. God wanted us to get away from these people because they are interfering with our food supply, and we should come together as a community and have stuff in our backyards growing, so we know what's going on, so we know what seeds we put in the ground, we know we didn't put glyphosate all over our plants, and we know it's not mRNA vaccine or mRNA changed to change our genome. I mean, this is crazy stuff. So they can't get us in the arms, they're going to come after us with the food. And we've already complained about how young children have already changed with puberty at such a younger and younger age. And people guess it's because of food supplies. I don't know if that's true, but that's what some people speculate.
Yeah, it's a scary time. And it's a very messy situation. And, the real irony is all we need is a 2-page bill and we're good. We did a 2-page bill. Hey, let's get informed consent and anything like this. And it doesn't affect anyone in the food business unless they are, doing something that's bad. So, I mean, you're not doing anything bad. Don't do it. You don't have anything to worry about. So just don't modify my genetics with your crap and we're golden. Yeah. So I don't know how anybody can oppose that.
I don't know. And yet you got so much pushback. Isn't it mind blowing to know how some people will really push back on things that just seems like it should be normal, like everyone should accept this, like what we're talking about now, like give me informed consent of what you're putting in the food.
Yep.
If I was running that bill here in Arizona, I know there'll probably be pushback, but in my mind, I'm like, there shouldn't be any pushback. Shouldn't everybody care what they put in the food?
Yeah. I mean, all we're asking is disclosure. We're not saying you can't do it. You want to make COVID food, you go right ahead. You just got to disclose it.
Right.
Why is that a problem?
Don't know. That doesn't make sense.
You don't hide things unless you got something to hide, but they have a lot to hide. We know that. I mean, it's just, this is what they do.
And the CBDC bill, how is that going in Ohio? Do you have any updates on the CBDC bill?
It's going. I'm hopeful on it. You know, it's very similar to the Florida bill. They're going to basically, redefine some terms and do some things that ban CBDCs in Ohio. And that's a good thing. So I'm hopeful on that one. You know, I think probably the other biggest story that I have right now is we also, along with my speech this weekend, we did a press conference. And in the press conference, I actually made public, and I got it on my pinned to the top of my Twitter right now, and I'm going to have it. I got it on Truth Social and elsewhere. But I got an interview or a whistleblower tape. And it's from a client of mine who is a pharmacist. She's got a PhD in pharmacy. She is talking to a nurse. And the nurse openly admits that they're killing people on her floor with COVID in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And that the other floors don't want to do it. And so it's relegated to her floor. She suggests they're using morphine when they don't need to be. They're just literally killing people in the hospital. So it relates to the hospital protocols, and it's a monumental tape. I would encourage anybody. It's like a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. It's not very long. I would encourage anybody that wants to see it. Like I said, it's on Twitter. It's on TomRens.com. It's on Truth Social. It's on my Rumble at Rens Law.
Is it Rumble. Rens-law.com? Is that still your website to your?
That's one of my websites. The one that I'm using for a lot of my commentary stuff is TomRens.com.
Okay, Tom Rens.
We get the two websites, and we wanted to distinguish between what I do when I'm just being a lawyer and when I'm being a commentator or a political activist.
That's smart.
So, we needed to, because, you know, sometimes lawyers can be activists, but sometimes you need to separate the two. So I'm being a lawyer doesn't preclude you from having the rights to exercise your First Amendment. But you have to, when you're acting as a lawyer, there's certain things that you can and can't do. And, so I need to distinguish the two.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. Oh, that's really great. And what do you foresee seeing with this this tape coming out? Do you think anybody will face the music? I mean, what are you hoping?
Well, we have a lawsuit on stuff related to it, and I'm hoping that there'll be criminal investigations. I think there should be criminal investigations into this. You've got people that were, you know, literally killing people. Mm-hmm. And at least according to the nurse. And I don't know what else that could be. I mean, there's no immunity from intentional acts. So, I mean, you murder somebody, doesn't matter whether you're in a hospital for COVID or not. And it appears that this hospital, that was a thing that they were doing apparently fairly commonly, since it had a whole floor dedicated to it.
I mean, I interviewed people who've had loved ones die, and it was because of their COVID protocols. They could have lived. I know you got phone calls after phone calls early on, and you were only one man trying to save as many people. And I knew that weighed heavy on your heart and on your mind.
Yes, it did.
And you were doing the best you could, but then, you know, you're not God, so you're one person. So, you know, people died, not because of anything you did, just because of the protocols that were in place. So you and I both have had personal experiences with people coming to us, sharing their stories and trying to get help, and sharing stories is the most powerful thing we can do, because then it's going to equip other people to know so that if they face that situation, they know to avoid it or make different choices, make different decisions so that doesn't happen to their family. So yeah, we have to be spreading this information. Coming up in Arizona, actually, at the state legislature, I will be there on, let's see, I think it's the 26th and 25th and 26th. There is a huge meeting that's going to happen with state legislators, some doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Corey, Pierre Corey, and others that are going to come, and they're going to talk about COVID, the code of protocols, things that have happened as a result, loss of life, things like that. So I hope people will pay attention. I'll be on the azleg.gov, azleg.gov website, so you can pay attention to that and watch that if you can't make it to Arizona. So that's what's happening here. But what else? Like, what else have you been a part of? I mean, you're everywhere. I see you. And I'm like, I know him. I know him.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. You know, what we do is every day we wake up and we figure out what we can do that's going to save the most lives, protect the most people, help the most things, and move the ball down the field. And then we just go where the God takes us. You know, we're always working on additional legislation. We're always working on additional litigation. We're always working on all sorts of things. A lot of my focus is both CBDC and any and all things COVID right now. To me, are the top two issues on the planet. We're doing stuff related to censorship. We're working on getting some initiatives there. Interestingly enough, I was just having a great conversation today, and I'm working on some unity projects. This is something that's kind of an interesting thing to me, and something that I think some people would be surprised about, because, you know, I'm very much a patriot and I'm a Christian and I'm proud of what I believe in and my country. But I'm working very hard to reach out to people, you know, from different communities, or there'd be people of color, people of different religion, people this, people that, and to say, hey, listen, we don't have to agree on every policy. We don't have to agree on anything. The one thing I'd like us to come together on is freedom, right? Let's come together on freedom. Let's support freedom. Let's support a few key issues, protecting children, you know, getting rid of the groomers out of the school, stuff like that, stuff that everybody agrees on. So I'm working, doing some work on that. Well, we should have an announcement on that coming up, I don't know, next month or so. I'm kind of excited about that. But you name it. I mean, literally, and this is the moral of the story for anybody listening. You know, you just get up, you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? But then you got to do it, right? And what he tells you to do isn't always going to be easy. But if you just do it, you don't have to be special to make a difference. You just got to be willing, right? You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be big. You just got to be willing to fight. And then be principled about what you're fighting for. And that's why it makes my whole day to hear that you joined the precinct captain, because these are things that the people are like, oh, that's not a big deal. No, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. We've got one precinct in Arizona now where someone's going to fight for honesty and integrity. Mm-hmm. That's everything. Mm-hmm. If every precinct in this country was filled in the same way, guess what? It'd be a different show. And P.S., the precincts are in many states, depends on the state structure, but in many states, if you got enough precinct people, they're going to control the Republican or Democrat parties.
That's exactly what's happening. Yep.
And we desperately need to retake the Republican Party and boot the Mitch McConnell rhinos as far to the curb as humanly possible.
Yep.
So
that's exactly right, because I have a vote in how we run as Maricopa County Republicans, and then we send delegates to the state level, the Republicans in Maricopa County,
right.
All the counties send delegates to the state level, and then those state level delegates send people to the national. Again, local action creates national impact.
Yes, it does. I
mean, everything we do is a ripple effect. I'm one person in one county that has one vote, and there's Republicans, and then there's people who can control the Republican Party. By being in as a precinct committeeman, you get a say in how your party runs. If you don't have that designation, then you don't have a say. You get to know state legislators across the country, but specifically where you're at. You get a help campaign for good people. Everyone needs, Carrie Lake needed people all over to help her campaign. She's one person. Yep. You think she could campaign the whole state by herself? No, you, so you're part of something when you become a precinct committeeman. You don't have to be this, you could be anything, but the point is you have to do something. Like Thomas Wren said, he's one person, and look at the impact that one person has had. He's running, like me, like I've never imagined running legislation. He's running legislation. He's speaking at hearings. I've spoken at committee hearings here in Arizona. One person. You can do it. Just show up to a meeting, get informed, and they're all over. You can go to your city council meeting, your county board of supervisor meeting, you can go down to the state capitol and listen to the committees and what they're talking about there and be informed. That way, you know, if you're in Missouri, that they want to fight against giving you information about the mRNA food. And that affects all of us. You know, the other thing is, why it's important is it's been strategic. The border crisis is strategic. They put 3 out of the 4 state governors as Democrats so that nothing gets accomplished. They booted Carrie Lake out, A, because she's MAGA, but 2, she had a plan in place to slow down the immigration. See, getting involved helps you know this stuff and helps you fight. And if you just sit there thinking someone else is going to do it, no one else is going to do it. Am I right?
Nope. Yeah. Yeah, the complacency is our true enemy. Ultimately, you know, I think we got to be aware of this. Our country, as it was founded, is lost. What we're doing now is not trying to save our country. We're trying to regain our country. And we got to understand the difference. Save means there's something to save. It's gone. Our founding fathers had a revolution, had a tea party over a tea tax.
Yep.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the John Durham report? Can you imagine what those guys would have done? I mean, listen, we have a country that is so broken and so damaged and so corrupt. We have no choice but to act. And the thing about this is you know, all that it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. It is not enough to do nothing. It is not enough to stand aside. You know, Arizona, I'm talking to you. I mean, you know, Amber, you're down there. Guys, your state, you know, right now you're losing it. Mm-hmm. You're losing it. And if you want to get it back, you know, you mentioned Maricopa County. Well, you need to boot those fruitcakes out that had the anti-Carrie Lake pack. They need to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck are they even in the Republican Party? How are they even close? They should be thrown out of the party. They should be absolutely thrown out. I mean, just out of office, out of everything.
I'm glad you brought that up, Tom, because there is a recall effort going on and our time is short and many hands make the load light. So if anyone wants to help get these people out of office, please contact me. I will put you in charge with the leadership that's running the recall. That way you can get involved. Again, one thing that you can do as a local person, you would have national impact. Imagine the signal you will send when you can boot one of these fake Republicans that are campaigning against we the people. They were interfering in the election. Imagine the signal that you would be saying if we could get them out of office. Well, they interfered with our elections.
Absolutely, they did.
That's major. Well,
they probably should be in jail. Mm-hmm. But you know, here's the thing. Here's my request for everybody listening, watching, right? Amber's there. I assume that, you know, part of your audience is probably local. Usually everybody's got a bit of a local audience. So that means that she's talking to you guys there in Arizona. I'm talking to you guys there. Please, for the love of God, share this in Arizona and ask people to help. You need to recall these two buffoons. They need to be as far gone as humanly possible. They should be out of the party. They should be removed. It only happens if you share this, if you get active, and if you get moving. If you guys got that up, I have no idea. I just now, I mean, literally when you said it is when I learned about this recall effort. So get on it, folks. You've got an opportunity. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Get these scumbags out of office, make them accountable, and make an example of them. Mm-hmm. Got to go after it. We've got to fight this. We've got to stand together. It comes down to you know, just Are you going to sign the petition? Are you going to help other people sign the petition? Are you going to do something, or are you going to let your state continue to be stolen? Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's the question. That's the only options you have. You can either do something and fight back, or do nothing, and then boom, we're completely gone. Completely gone. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciated you and all the knowledge and information that you brought to us. I appreciate all the hard work you're doing around the country, and come back and tell us some more updates of what you're doing.
It's my honor, and I'm glad to see you. Congratulations on your position, and keep fighting.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.